So hopefully as we look at the scripture this morning, we can kind of see some reasoning and wisdom behind the Lord. And so as we get ready for that, I'd like to open us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. You're a mighty God. All things are sifted through your hands, and you have all things in control. And Lord, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness, and thank you for each person that received you as Savior, that we have a peace and a comfort through you. And so, God, we just praise your holy name. And Lord, I just pray you'd anoint me, and I just speak words of the Spirit, and that each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to teach us. And Lord, we just feel safe and secure in you and you alone. So we give thanks to you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking this morning at Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. So if you turn there, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. And the title of the message is Boasting. Okay, boasting. And we're going to see we have a lot to boast about, and where the Lord really condones the boasting. But as we look at this, we can't overlook the situation we all are going through. And, you know, it's kind of this, I just call it this crazy virus that's going around. And, you know, people are at different levels of fear. And as believers, we should have a lot more security in other than other people, and because we're trusting in the Lord to move and take care of us. But the world, non-believers, I think, have a greater amount of fear because there's so much more uncertainty. Now, before I read this scripture, I just want to kind of ask us a question. There's a lot of things I can't explain, and I'm not going to attempt to, but there's a couple of things that I want us to think about that as believers we probably know the answer to, but I want to kind of put things in perspective. Do you believe, now this is, I'm just making this up, okay, so just to go along with me, do you believe that God is in heaven and he's looking down on this situation, and let's just say he has a conversation with the angel Gabriel, and he looks down on this earth and he says to Gabriel, man, I never saw that coming. He didn't say that, did he? He said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Okay, now he didn't say that. Now here's the other thing. So now I'm going to go on the other end, the other spectrum. And the other thing is, he looks down at his church, his people, okay? And God's church are those who put the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are forgiven. So he looks down on his people. And he sees his people in this earth going through this situation. Do you suppose he looks over at Gabriel and says to him, oh man, I hope they get through this. Gosh, I mean, they're in a fix. You know, he says, Gabriel, I hope they keep isolated and don't talk to anybody. I mean, maybe they can get through this. I don't think he said that. Now, so I believe the truth is somewhere in between those two. It's somewhere in between. Now, I can't say that I have complete understanding, but we do have the scriptures, and the scriptures give us understanding, and so that we're, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have some sort of understanding about our security and how we should function in this life. And so hopefully this morning we're just going to look at some scriptures, and not meant to answer everything, but maybe we can get some insight. We can get some insight. So we're going to start off here with Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. And this was spoken in the Old Testament through a really difficult time. People were going through difficult times. And it says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Then there's a big but between connecting with the next verse. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, the Holy God. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Now, what we have here is so interesting. It's what's being said in Jeremiah, that back then, as now, you know, people put their, or they hold in high esteem, you know, the scholar, the athletes, warriors, financiers, put them high esteem because of their capabilities and their abilities. And we see also, and I don't think anyone would argue with this, being believers, we see the world is increasingly moving down an anti-God path, trusting in their own resources. Now, that statement right there ought to put of like, whoa, this is not pleasing to God. This is not pleasing to God. There has to be a move of God to get attention here. So can I read it again? That the world is increasingly moving down an anti-God path, trusting in their own resources. They can do it themselves. They can do it themselves. However, the Bible clearly tells us, believers, that the highest good that we can have, the highest good that we can have, is to know God. And not just intellectually, philosophically, but in spirit and his true character. And the Bible clearly says that our trust and dependence are to be in God and God alone. It says it. That's what the Scripture says. So, it's true in any situation. In any situation. Therefore, we stand. Are you all ready for this? Little insight. Therefore, we stand as lights to this dark world. Now, what that does mean is, okay, there's some concern, but we're not as frightened as everybody else. We're standing as lights because we trust in God alone, and we know that it's He who's working all things for good. So we're standing on our trust in Him. That gives us security. Therefore, we have light. We should not be as frightened as the rest of the world. We should not be. We should have a strength, and God meant it to be that way. And so what we see here is we're to be lights of the world. Then God is the only true and lasting wisdom. Amen? Now, this is really, Jesus really pulls this together in John chapter 17, verse 3. So if you want to turn there, John chapter 17, verse 3. And he says this, and I'm going to just read this. Piece it together, if you will. And he says this, Jesus says this, and this is eternal life. Now I'm just going to stop there. Jesus just said something. He says, this is eternal life. So he has our attentions. Amen? This is eternal. I'm going to tell you what eternal life is. Eternally past, eternally future. This is eternal life. You're going to know what it is. All right? And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life, to enjoy and to participate in eternal life now and future, same thing. So one thing is going to be true, exactly the same thing, that we know God and that we know Jesus Christ. Now, what's eternal life going to be like? That we know God and Jesus Christ. And so we're good. Why? Because we know God and we know Jesus Christ. We're good. Now, so God, you see God's mindset, and you see where God is trying to communicate the needs. He wants the world to understand that. But you know, the world, we know their issue. They have rejected Christ. They've rejected God. But He wants the church to know that. He wants the church. He said, no, you want to know me. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. And by that very statement, there should be a peace no matter what. No matter what. And so we're looking at God. Now, here's something else. And this is a fascinating. So connecting with this, this is really fascinating, because not only does the Bible say that God is the only true and lasting wisdom. He says that. But he also says that the wisdom of the world actually draws us away from God. Now process that. process that. Because everything in our minds would say something different. But we know from reading the scripture, God is telling us something. No, I am the lasting wisdom. And the wisdom of this world actually draws you away from me. We've seen it. We see it. So God is letting us know. So we understand. We have an insight. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now here's this verse, and it's kind of, you have to picture the whole verse together. It's kind of a complicated sentence, but it's powerful. And it says this. Now, okay, talking about the wisdom of the world actually draws us away from God. It says this. For since in the wisdom of God, so God knew what was going on. I mean, that's the one thing he keeps going. I know what's going on. Since in the wisdom of God, now listen, the world did not know God through wisdom. I mean, that is powerful. And it explains a multitude of things. Since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. But look what God did. But it pleased God through the folly of what is preached to save those who believe. How does God deal with the wisdom of this world? Through the folly of what's preached. Now that ought to communicate all sorts of things to us about staying connected is a body, staying connected is a church, because it's the folly, it proves that God has a sense of humor. He's pointing out that this is what the world thinks of the preaching, world thinks of the church, it's folly. He says, but that folly, and what they're calling folly, is what I work through. It's the folly of preaching God's word. So here we have, the world did not know God through its wisdom, plus God is pleased through the folly of preaching Christ. We have the wisdom of God. Therefore, we have God's approval and encouragement to boast in the Lord. Now, it really says that. I mean, you can think about, well, you should never boast. But he actually tells us to boast. And we see this with the Apostle Paul in other places. He boasts in the Lord. Because as soon as you boast in the Lord, you're putting all trust, all dependence, and everything in the Lord. So we boast in the Lord. God goes, that's good. That's good. That's okay to do that. And I think if we're boasting in the Lord, we're not boasting in anything else. So it's fascinating when we see this. Now, this is quoted two times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:31 and 2 Corinthians 10:17. And it says this, as is written, meaning referring back to the Old Testament, and it's actually referring back to Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. So it said, as is written, see, the Apostle Paul knew the Old Testament, and he quoted from it because it was applicable. And it says, as is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That tells us two times to boast in the Lord. So we ought to be excited about boasting. Now we're looking at our own situation. Be excited about boasting in the Lord. Because he knows, and it's to him we come. To him we have an understanding. And so we can boast in that. We can actually boast in that. Now, when we see this, there's a little, if I can put a little commentary to that, my own commentary. When we're boasting in the Lord, we never need to vindicate ourselves. Oh, I praise Jesus, and he's working in my life. Well, you think you're the only one and everything you're doing, you think this, you know, why would you say such a thing? No, we boast, we don't have to vindicate ourselves. See, and it's very interesting, there's no need to vindicate ourselves. We don't have to think, really don't have to think, when we're boasting in the Lord, I must explain myself, or I must get people to understand. You think, no, we don't have to do that. In fact, I want you to think about something. Jesus never explained anything. I mean, think about it. Now, I mean, he spoke truth, and he says, this is the truth. And if they said something, my paraphrase, oh, you're nuts, he just walked off. See, he didn't go back and try to explain himself. Jesus never explained anything. He left the misunderstandings and the misconceptions of others to correct themselves. Do you know how they corrected themselves? The truth comes true. The truth comes through. He spoke the truth. And that's it. And it's going to come through. Now, see, what the church has is the truth. So we boast in the Lord. I mean, we're boasting in the Lord and depending on Him. Now, the world around us, which is coming to light, they're in, you know, different states of hysteria, you know. And again, we may be frightened, but we're boasting in the Lord. We know that He is working. We're not alone. So we're a light to those who are frightened through all these things. But we don't have to explain anything. The truth will clarify everything. And that's, if we understand that, we can have a greater peace and a greater understanding in this situation. At the beginning I talked about two extremes, and I think, okay, I believe that's true. Some of the truth is somewhere in between these two extremes. Now, I'm not sure how all this fits together, but I'm going to boast in the Lord that He's got this. That's my boast, that He's got this, that He's got this. So if that's the truth, we just proclaim the truth. There we go. We just proclaim the truth. Therefore, we are unashamedly boasting in the Lord. Now, well, I'm going to boast in the Lord when everything works out. That's when I'm going to boast. But no, you boast in the Lord when everything's going wrong. I think about, and again, the current situation is a terrible situation, but it's kind of like Moses at the Red Sea, okay? To really boast in the Lord, you need a situation to boast about, like him doing a miracle. You know, oh, praise God, I found this parking place. Praise Jesus. All right. You know, you didn't impress a lot of people, but that's good, and I'm sure that happened. But when you have a unbelievable problem and you're standing before it and you boast in the Lord, everybody's watching. And what else is happening? Nobody can help you but God. It's like, God, I'm boasting in you. It's me and you. If you don't do something, I'm sunk. Okay, that's kind of what we're talking about. And what Moses did, he said he went to the Red Sea. Okay, you got the Red Sea in front of him. It's impassable. You can't get through. And the Egyptian army is coming behind him. You're right there. And so Moses is standing there. And the people say, look at the mess you got us into. He really does say that. All the miracles and everything. And now Egyptians behind him, Red Sea, they go, look at the mess you got us into. See, they personalize it to the people on earth, you know. And so people will personalize it to you also. All right? So we shouldn't be surprised. Do you know what Moses said? Moses said, stand still and see the power of your God. And he held the staff over the sea, and it divided. Now, what I know, now I don't understand the details, but what I know, that's how he's going to work now. Okay, by the way, we can be two people. We can be those running around, what are you going to do now? Or we can be Moses. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. See? And you know what that is? That's boasting in the Lord. And you know what that is? That puts it all in God's lap. And what it does, it puts it within God to do what only God can do. And sometimes situations happen like this so that we'll call out to Him because God is the only one that can do something. But who knows this? God's people. God's people know this. And so this is what we see, the truth here. Now, and so because of this, we can boast in the Lord in knowledge and without fear. Okay? Look, if you will, at Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. It says this. Thus says the Lord. Okay, we're getting it, getting the truth right here. Thus saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. Now look, what's happened here, he says, don't be dismayed at the things that happening in heaven, the signs in heaven, or what's going on. Don't be dismayed. Why? Because the world is dismayed. They're dismayed, but you know God isn't. You're not dismayed. The two differences in the two groups of people, one is like, oh, no, and the other group, okay, God, we're yours to do as you see fit. Same problem. He didn't say, you got a problem, these people don't have a problem. Unfortunately, we kind of have the same problem these other people do. But our vision is different, our dependence is different, and we're trusting on what God says, and that gives us peace. We're not dismayed. In fact, what this tells us, what this is, that the nations will be dismayed. Just wait and see. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to go well for them. So we know up front. What do we know? The Bible clearly says that God has promised turmoil to the unbelieving world. It's going to come. Unfortunately, we kind of have to share some space with them, okay? But we know God is going to cause turmoil to the unbelieving world because he wants the unbelieving world to turn to him, and therefore through him somehow he gives them situations they can't fix. And I'm going to tell you something. This, and I don't mean to make light of this at all. This virus, and it's frightening, you know, and so people are really concerned. I promise you this. It's going to be worse in the future. We're going to have a virus that spreads as fast and be more deadly. I mean, it's been, I said, boy, I'm glad I showed up this morning. That's encouraging. Now, but the point of it is like, okay, God, what are you doing? I'm going to be at the right place at the right time, and I want to share your word. This is an opportunity to share the love of God. This opportunity to share Christ, that we have eternal life. This is an opportunity to see the power of God work. And he works through his people. And so we have confidence because he's working through us. So it's a really powerful thing when we look at it. So we know that God is revealing himself to show himself as the one true God. Why wouldn't he do that? That's the truth. And he is showing himself to us and the world as the one true God. Now, look at Jeremiah 10:10, which basically says this. Jeremiah 10:10. And listen. But the Lord is the true God. See, again, it starts out, but whatever you believe for, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. Amen? Now look at the next part of this, the next sentence. And his wrath, at his wrath, the earth quakes. At his wrath, the earth quakes. And the nations cannot endure his indignation. Now what that says, God gets upset. He gets, oh, it's just going all along. Everybody's doing what they want to do. Doesn't make any difference. You worship God, not worship God. He doesn't do anything. It just plugs along. No, it doesn't. Now again, I can't explain the cause and effect. I just know there's truth in the two extreme examples I gave. There's truth in there. And I know he is moving, and as I come to him, he's going to speak to me and show me what he wants to do in the situation to show everyone that he is the one true God. All right? Now again, the truth will manifest itself, but it needs to be spoken. It needs to be spoken. Now, this may be what we're witnessing right now. People are scared to death. They don't have any answers. But there's the one true God. There's the one true God. And at his wrath, the earth quakes. Well, that was an old version of the Bible. And it's No, it just says what it says. God is going to do something. How crazy would it be if the world turned away against God and he didn't do anything? Now again, I'm not blaming God for the virus. I said I can't figure all this out. But the turmoil that's happening through it is he's working through it that people will turn to him. People will turn to him. That much I do know. And here's something else. Since God told us this beforehand, we are not dismayed. I see what I'm saying? This is the biggest shock ever. And people I've watched on television, I never seen anything like this. We never prepared. We never saw it. I didn't know that anything like this could happen. See? But see, God told us that things like this can happen. So we shouldn't be shocked. I mean, look, frightening, but we shouldn't be shocked. Anybody ever read the book of Revelation? Revelation's book is worse than this. I always read the book of Revelations, and I looked through, you know, and not understanding a lot of it, but enjoyed reading it. But one of the things that puzzled me, it says, and I'm going to do this through the whole world. I said, now how are you going to pull that off? I mean, my conversation with God was not being really, he can do anything he wants to, make it known through the whole world is good. But I thought, well, how does the whole world do it? And all of a sudden on television, I'm watching some people, you know, in a town in China, this virus start, and in a matter of months, compasses the whole world. I go, oh my goodness gracious. And go back to Revelation, I'm going to reread this. It's not even that hard. I mean, it happened, and I see it. I'm wondering how in the future how anything like this could ever happen. It's like, oh my gosh, I just witnessed it. And it's, now again, what you read in Revelation is much worse. But the spread is the same. And so all of a sudden you see, well, you know, maybe God is in control. Maybe he is God. And maybe he has called out his people. And maybe he's going to do just what he said. And so what we said, we know this beforehand. Therefore, we can boast in God, in knowledge, and not fear. We knew. He told us up front. He told us up front for believers. Now, we know God is working throughout the whole world, but it's not in control. We boast in the Lord in knowledge without fear because God has told us these things beforehand. Now, I want you to look at Jeremiah 11, chapter 11, verse 18. Now, taking this out of context a little bit, but the principle still applies through all the other scripture. And in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 18, and Jeremiah says, again, Jeremiah's going through some bad stuff. And he says this, the Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you, God, showed me their deeds. He says, you told me beforehand. You told me beforehand. You know. So what I'm saying is, the church, we know this beforehand. Now, I also believe through the Holy Spirit in certain situations, God can prompt us in certain situations that we know things in advance, all right? But in the scripture, we know everything God's going to do in advance. Now, we may not understand it, but he's telling us. Like, if we see what's going on around us, well, I never dreamed that that could happen. Maybe we never dreamed we could ever see it. But we shouldn't say, I've never seen it before, if one has read their Bible. Because it tells us, I told you beforehand. And so we should be, are you ready for this? Is the church, we should be excited. Okay. Now, Wallace, you just... Now, wait a minute. We should be excited. Why? Because God is moving and fulfilling his word just like he said he would. Be excited. I'm moving. And my church, my people, be ready with my word because I am cultivating everything that you're going to be the light and people are going to be begging to understand what's going on because they are flat scared to death. So it is. So, now here I want to kind of leave us and kind of wrap things up here, but I want to give encouragement to us, specifically at Broadlands Community Church, but you know, churches all over, this is application to anybody, but I really want to give a tremendous encouragement to Broadlands Community Church, and because we can boast without fear, because he cares for us. See, he cares for us. And so, we need to understand that he looks at us and he cares for us. He goes, I know the situation. I know what's going on. And you don't understand everything's going on, but I know the situation and you are my people and I'm using you. Call upon me and I'm going to walk you through this. You don't have to fear. Trust in me, not in the world's wisdom. You trust in me. And if you will, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. 32. I'll give you time to turn there. Luke chapter 12, 32. So he says to us, fear not, little flock. And I don't know, that just warms my heart. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what he said. And you say, well, we're just kind of a small church, small group, but we're a small group of dedicated Christians to love Jesus, have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, fear not, little flock, for it's the God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God takes special note of our little flock, and it's his pleasure to give us everything. So we should be really secure in that. Amen? We should be really secure, because that's what he's saying. We have Jesus, therefore we have authority through Jesus. We're fully equipped through God's word. I mean, we can apply Ephesians 6:17. It says this, BCC, boast in the Lord without fear, equipped with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, it's like God makes us a majority. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. Be different from the hysteria of the world around you. Fear not. And besides that, we fear not because we have the greatest message throughout the entire ages. The greatest message in the world. I don't care what happens, we have the greatest message. And we should stand on this foundation in any comment. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What are you doing looking at the world? He so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now you're my people. You're my children. He calls us children, his people. The avenues for the Holy Spirit to work. I was reading this morning of an old preacher, and I read this, and it just stunned me. I'm sure I must have read it before, but the guy said this. He said, Jesus came in a body to show the power of God. Okay. Then number two, Jesus came in a second body, the church, to show the power of God. Oh, my. And it goes back where he said, listen, it's good that I go away because you're going to do greater things than I did. See, I want to ask you, in this situation, again, we don't want to downplay it at all, but in this situation, Jesus standing here, would he be afraid? Would he? Well, then he goes to heaven and says, you're going to do greater things than I did. Should we be afraid? No. See, I mean, the logic is all there, and he presents it to us in that logic, all right? But the choice is us. We're either Moses standing for the Red Sea, Egyptians behind him. I say, stand still, see the salvation of your God. Or we're the ones running around. Look what you've done to us now. You got us in a fix, you know. That's what they said. They just saw the 9 plagues fall on Egypt. He said, and they get to that Red Sea. I knew it. I knew you'd get us in a jam like this. I told them not to listen to you, see. So what do? You don't explain yourself. Stand still. You see the salvation of your God. Then he parts the Red Sea. But see, God parts the Red Sea. I mean, Moses didn't get down there with his staff and just start beating the water, did he? No, he just, all right, pull God into this. It is what it is. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to close with this. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you everything you need. We're the majority because God is the almighty God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, amen. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we're not afraid because of you. Wherever we are, it's sifted through your hands with your power to do your work. Let us see you, Lord, in everything we do. And let us have the gospel on our lips to say to anyone, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And we ask this of you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.